Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kurup, guten tak, ciao, wi viva, kat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial, poor nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where decomposing cadaver is the centerpiece for the corporate diet of death. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, occupying the media in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Everywhere, Occupy Together. I'd like to say that I'm in solidarity with the 99%ers, and of course I'm sympathetic to many of their unstated goals, but I'd feel more comfortable if they call themselves the 0.0000099ers as their species, Homo sapien. Whom are you calling a Homo sapien? Humans are just one species of 1.3 million cataloged on Earth. Not quite 99%, we just act like it. I do identify with the issues represented by the protesters, but I do wish to declare solidarity even more so with the true 99%ers. And maybe they should be called the 99.9999999%ers. We humans, as I said, just one species of 1.3 million cataloged by scientists who generally discover about 15,000 new or unknown species every year, although I think those species probably knew they were here already, much like the people discovered by Columbus. Some scientists have estimated there may be 8.7 million species on Earth. So whether we're one in 1.3 million or one in 8.7 million, the math doesn't work out to 99%, except 99% of all currently threatened species are in danger because of human activity. The main causes, habitat destruction and global warming, which themselves are caused by meat and dairy production and consumption. And there are dozens of species going extinct every day. By mid-century, a third to one-half of all species on Earth could be gone. Will humans be one of them? And to all those species, meat-eating, milk-drinking humans are all greedy Wall Street bankers. They see us bailing out Earth. We're basically bailing out all the water on Earth, draining aquifers for the 320,000 gallons of water a meat-eater needs every year to grow his or her food, while a vegan needs just 10,000 gallons. 32 vegans can be fed to one meat-eater. When it's a bull market on Wall Street, you can be sure a lot of bulls are being killed for the corporate diet of death. When you buy meat or dairy, the greedy Wall Street banksters are laughing all the way to the bank. Stock, livestock, all the same to them. As long as you're putting your money out, that corporate diet of death served up by Wall Street-backed McDevil's Murder King, Wendy's Kills Jr., Jack the Ripper in a box. I must say I am a bit disappointed at the menu at some of the kitchens at the occupation zones. Meat and dairy are not ingredients for creating a better world, that's for sure. And why are you sending cheese pizzas to the demonstrators? Do you dislike them that much? Where you say, let them eat pus, and then you make sure that they do so? Your GovEnronment allows 750 million pus cells per liter of cow's milk. That cheese pizza could have 7,500,000,000 pus cells, close to half a billion pus cells per slice. Shouldn't you reject the corporate diet of death? Shouldn't you reject the corporate diet of pus? Of course, I see veganism as a necessary basis for this movement, and even though I haven't made it out to an occupation yet, maybe within the next few days in San Francisco and later in L.A. with my megaphone to veganize the festivities. And by the way, why are people wimping out of the movement and not using a megaphone? It's protected free speech. You don't need a permit. What are the police going to do, kettle you and squirt pepper spray in your eyes? They do that if you're just sitting there anyway, so use your megaphone. I'll have my megaphone at Occupy San Francisco, Occupy LA, and Fur Free Friday in Beverly Hills the day after Thanksgiving. But anyway, I do see positive signs almost everywhere. From the Declaration of Occupation of New York City, from the New York City General Assembly, speaking of those against whom these demonstrations are targeted, greedy Wall Street banksters, greedy corporations, greedy corrupticians, I mean politicians. Look at Eric Cantor calling all of these good people a mob, while he represents the worst mobsters. So in the complaints from the declaration, it says, well, one, they've taken our houses through illegal foreclosures, despite not having the original mortgage. Two, they have taken bailouts from taxpayers with impunity and continue to give executives exorbitant bonuses. Three, they have perpetuated inequality and discrimination in the workplace based on age, color, sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. Number four, they have poisoned the food supply through negligence and undermined the farming system through monopolization. And number five comes with a big asterisk. They have profited off the torture, confinement, and cruel treatment of countless animals and actively hide these practices. So the animals get representation in this declaration. It's great. And then it goes on with many more complaints about employee rights and outsourcing jobs and recognizing corporations as people or persons, selling out privacy as a commodity, on and on it goes. Really, a very impressive indictment of those Wall Street corporate government meat eaters. And this is all very hopeful, well articulated. So I think really good things can come from this movement. And we find encouragement with animals being represented in that declaration. Also encouragement with recent activities concerning animals, such as the banning of the sale of fur in West Hollywood. You know, the circus is now banned in Bolivia and Peru. And just this past week, the city of Irvine in California, in conservative Orange County, the city of Irvine banned, well, not only the retail sales of dogs and cats in pet stores, Irvine also banned the circus, and Irvine banned rodeos. Are you listening, Anaheim? And then, on top of that, this past week, mall developer Mesa Rich has decided to ban the sale of live animals at more than 70 malls across the U.S. to intentionally undermine puppy mills, which, as you know, are horrendous factory farms for dogs supplying pet shops. The trend is definitely toward adoption and rescue. In spite of the words of the CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, Wayne Pacelli, who inexplicably went on Oprah and totally flabbergasted me when he said, buy from a responsible breeder, as if there were responsible breeders. Well, he's way behind the curve, isn't he? HSUS, way behind the curve. Behind the thinking of municipal governments like Irvine, and now behind the curve on a major mall operator. That's pretty amazing, huh? Over 70 malls. That's the equivalent of, six blocks of Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles? Well, coming up on today's program, the inspirational story of Jared Manos, someone who evolved from hitting rock bottom, dealing drugs in the hood in Nueva York, to today founder and CEO of the Great Plains Restoration Council, a Houston-based nonprofit that works to restore and protect the ecology of the plains while helping at-risk youth to get in touch with nature and themselves. As Jared will tell us, his goal is restoration, not incarceration, and his book is called Ghetto Plainsman. We'll also learn of the importance of veganism in his life. Also on today's show, I want to play for you the recording of my talk at the 2011 Animal Rights Conference, which was officially condemned by the 2011 Animal Rights Conference. How is it possible that I, the mild-mannered reporter at the Daily Planet, a vegan talk show host, can give a speech at an animal rights conference supporting veganism and animal rights, and yet I still get officially condemned? Well, you be the judge. Let me know if you think I was worthy of condemnation. You can email me, bob@goveganradio.com, after you hear the talk. So the condemned talk by Bob Linden later in the program, after Bob Linden stops talking about Bob Linden in the third person. And while we are talking in the third person, you'll hear Alex Hirschaft introduce me at the conference and then condemn me after my speech. And I'm not upset with him at all. Actually, I find Alex to be quite a hero. Alex with the Farm Animal Reform Movement and the Animal Rights Conference, a Holocaust survivor who's dedicated his life to animal rights. So I'm not upset with him, even if he did see it necessary to condemn my talk at the conference. He's quite a hero anyway. I did find it a little curious that Alex didn't condemn Bruce Friedrich, formerly of PETA, now with Farm Sanctuary, who called Alex a speciesist for being abolitionist. Well, calling an animal rights activist speciesist is like the equivalent of the F-word meets the N-word for animal activists, because we see speciesism right alongside racism, sexism, homophobia. So speciesist are we, so pervasive is it in our society that even the most liberal in our society don't see it. I mean, Rachel Maddow likes to go fishing, Ed Schultz likes to go hunting. And then this week, I see Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!, a show that I try to catch every day. I mean, the most progressive of progressive media. And she's talking about a very controversial, at least at the time, decades ago, seemingly a very defiant act by an Olympic gold medal winning track athlete, John Carlos, who raised his fist in the Black Panther salute in a protest against racism and what was going on in the country, the war. He was also barefoot at the award ceremony protesting poverty. So Amy says how wonderful it was, one of the great social justice gestures of our time, as John Carlos in a leather glove made that salute, raised his hand. And Amy, of course, didn't see the irony. The most defiant, most wonderful social justice gesture is somewhat compromised, gloved in leather, gloved in oppression, torture, and murder. You know, while someone is protesting prejudice based on the color of one's skin, he's actually wearing someone else's skin to do it. So is that a good example of speciesism and how pervasive it is and how we don't recognize it? And maybe the Democracy Now! Audience didn't see that. But the cows certainly would, and we're here for the cows. And well, all the other millions of species on Earth who need us to go vegan and protect them and the environment and human health. And we're only here if you support us with a tax-deductible donation. You can also advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. And also, to make a donation, and when you donate, you're supporting Progressive Talk Radio. It's tax-deductible. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online. And we really need your help, so please do it. Go online right now and click the donate button at goveganradio.com.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
From senators, congressmen, please heed the call.
You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us.
You will love EcoDogsAndCats.com because it has everything you need for your special loved ones. EcoDogsAndCats.com. Everything 100% vegan, natural, humane, eco-friendly, and organic when possible. Vegan dog food, vegan cat food. Yes, vegan cat food from EcoDogsAndCats.com. Vegan treats for dogs and cats. Check out Sam's Yams, sweet potato treats for dogs who love to chew. Supplements, grooming, toys, collars and leashes, bedding, litter, litter disposal.
Hello, my name is Bo Rinaldi, and I've been a vegan for 51 years. You might know me as one of the owners of the Blossoming Lotus restaurants, and I am also a best-selling cookbook author of Vegan Fusion and The Complete Idiot's Guide to Eating Raw. We have a vegan cooking school and travel the world showing people how to thrive on a plant-based lifestyle. We teach owners of spas and hotels, do private chefing for the rich and famous, and virtually everyone we meet about the merits of a locally sourced, made-from-scratch, plant-based diet. We think by using the concepts we show you at www.cookinghealthylessons.com that we can grow our way out of the mess the U.S. and the rest of the world is in. We also have land that we are developing on the beaches of Ecuador, retreats that we give at our eco resort there, and much more to share, all found at blossominglotus.com. Please support Go Vegan Radio, your local vegan businesses, and organic farmers everywhere as we band together to grow our way to personal freedom, health, and self-empowerment. Please join us at www.blossominglotus.com to learn about all we have to offer.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Broadcasting now for over 10 years, vegan, animal liberation, ecological infiltration of the airwaves. How do we do it? Well, we have to pay the radio stations, believe it or not. So that's where you come in with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, you go to goveganradio.com. You can also advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. Well, my next guest has an interesting story, interesting enough for it to become a book and for him to get coverage all across the country with his activities. Jared Manos is the founder and CEO of the Great Plains Restoration Council, a Houston-based nonprofit. His autobiography is called Ghetto Plainsman, and it's interesting. Well, we have a couple of guys from New York talking about life today. How are you, Jared? How are things going?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Very good, thank you. Yes. So tell us tell us about your background and what was going on for you, life in New York City, and how things developed to where you went off to Texas. Tell us about life in Nueva York, first of all.
Well, basically, to start with, my work all is informed by a sense that the violence we do to the earth mirrors the violence we do to each other, and often except to ourselves. You know, I had a rural, what we call country background. You know, as a child, and I sort of fell down into the streets, and
Where was the rural background?
That was in Ohio in the upper Midwest. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I am such a street cat now, but it's like I was involved in hunting and fishing and like almost like 19th century things, chinwa, so playing around and all that. And then now, I mean, I know just about every hood in this country in some way. So I've gone through this life track of just really experiencing life fully. And when I was in New York, I felt way below rock bottom. And, you know, I had this idea that I was going to escape out into nature. So I started going, further out into the American West, but I found a far worse war zone than anybody could ever conceive. That still goes on today. You know, I'm sure a lot of our vegan listeners know about what happens to animals and earth herself.
Right, yeah. So, well, I mean, there you are in New York at rock bottom and maybe dealing drugs, or what was the awakening that said that you have to do something else?
Well, it was a sense of just if you're seeking refuge and you find no refuge, you realize that the whole world is a war zone and our lives are filled with chaos and ugliness and violence everywhere you go.
I know there's a McDonald's. There's a McDonald's on every block.
And you said it, but you know, so I came to a part where the history didn't have to be over, and that I realized, yes, animals were dying, and people were dying, Earth herself was dying, you know, all cars are connected. And so, and I did care about people where I didn't care about anything beforehand. So I wanted to create a cultural movement. That's how I formed my Grapevine Restoration Council, which helps people heal themselves through healing the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, because I mean, you know, if you, at first, like, rock bottom for me was, you know, doing whatever I could to avoid homelessness. And, you know, I fell down, I really low. And so there was, like, there was a part there when I felt that I had AIDS. This was before Magic Johnson days. And so I basically had taken a one-way trip across the country, and I ended up getting tested in L.A. I was going to go starve myself to death in the desert. That was my plan. And then when I realized I had nothing, you know, I was going to live, I was like, I had like $3 left in my name. Now what? And I was also just, all I had known was the world just being a really hostile place. So I was given an opportunity to go work for a drug dealer in New York, and I had seen the world of the war zone. You know, those were the days of the Exxon Valdez oil spill, the Persian Gulf War, the Tiananmen Square massacre. So my only weapons was all fear and hate and war. So I built my way up, and it was the first time I had any empowerment, but I wasn't out there buying any, you know, gold chains and BMWs. I decided I was going to, I had this crazy milk and view that I was going to, like, fund my own war against all the destroyers. But that ended up becoming like a spiritual track, because I went further and further into the West each time, and I would see prairie dog killing contests, just crazy hatred and shooting animals from helicopters and just devastation. The waters don't even flow, and it felt like it was like a Job-like experience. So I had to work through my own militancy and my own despair again. It was like almost dying a second time. It doesn't happen overnight. So a lot of times people ask for a pivot moment, but it's grueling osmosis.
So that's interesting. That tell us how you came to be vegan. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, first, you know, even when I was struggling to avoid homelessness, I had very little money. I had made a commitment to. I said I was going to go vegetarian. Just for health reasons. But, you know, as you start to get cleaner, your mind and your clarity and your consciousness gets stronger and cleaner also. So then I realized all those other reasons that I didn't want to eat, whether it's animal suffering or ecological devastation or just the whole industrial hell of meat production. And then it becoming vegan. I first was vegetarian, and then I became vegan. I've been vegan for about 12 years now. It's an ever-increasing spiritual and physical exhilaration, and I really do not believe that spirit is separate from the flesh. So I believe that ability to perform physically and through deep wellness comes from plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm. We are talking to Jared Manos, founder and CEO of the Great Plains Restoration Council, a Houston-based nonprofit. His autobiography is Ghetto Plainsman. So how did the Great Plains Restoration Council come to be?
Well, if I was dealing with all these issues here in the Great Plains, where I experienced the most devastation that people have ever waged pretty much against Earth, there really was nothing left. In fact, even in American culture, there's very little consciousness of the Garden of Eden that the middle part of the country used to be at. And if you peel back the stories, there's just been so much bloodshed, suffering, and sorrow on the land, so much killing that it is such a land of devastation, and there is so little left. Then you are hit by sudden moments that life is still alive here, and just like knocks you in the face. Is so powerful because we still live in this land of sun, wind, grass, and blue sky. And I saw that the animals who, whether it's prairie dogs or the coyotes who shrink at the mere sight of people, or any of the last remnants of life that used to live here, they make it through life each day tooth and nail. And so their resilience to survive and thrive, even in the midst of so much abject hatred and attack and constant attack, and very little refuse showed me that, you know, that it's still possible to rebuild, renew, recreate, and heal.
Mm-hmm.
Radon's been here for a million years, and 99% of them have been poison gassed or shot, and they have such a highly developed civilization. They're like a coral reef in the sea of grass, providing, you know, home to all these $160 different animals, and they're on the verge of extinction, yet they're still trying to thrive. So mm-hmm. I was informed by that, and also by that a lot of many people don't want to say that our civilization is just, and that we as people are just monsters, and that we could really build a new millennial future. So 12 years ago, we formed the Great Plains Restoration Council, and we produced so far about $30 million worth of new preserves, primarily in the Southern Plains, but also an expansion of Badlands National Park in South Dakota. And we do all our work through social work, so our two programs are Restoration, Not Incarceration, and Plains Youth Interaction.
So while you're restoring the plains, you're also restoring troubled youth.
And they restore themselves. So it's a sense of commonality. Nature is not separate from us, and we need to not be separate from our own bodies and lives. One of my themes is taking care of body and earth as one. That's, in fact, I'm doing a keynote at the Unity Fellowship Church National Convocation on LA mm-hmm. Friday. And so when you have a process of a dual track process that intertwines like twin strands of DNA, social work and ecological recovery and protection, both can proceed. And the body functions a lot, and a lot function in many ways like an ecosystem. So it's very powerful for people who are on their last leg.
Yeah, it's what's interesting, I think, is that I think a big problem that we have today is that we have no contact with nature. So when we are in New York City, it's all skyscrapers and sewers and to a degree. So it's that lack of contact with nature that really creates problems. And then when we get in touch with nature, we're back in touch with ourselves.
Yeah, and I'm a big proponent of rewilding urban spaces, because even in New York, you have places where you can still see the wild trying to assert itself, not least the wild separate part from the northern part of Central Park, but along the Hudson River.
I've been out of New York for quite a while, so at least they left some trees in Central Park. That's good. I'm glad to hear that, sir.
And, you know, it's really important for us to, wherever we live, we're still part of the ecosystem.
Sure.
You know, nature isn't separate from our life. Even here in the hood in South Houston, we still live on the coastal prairie. We share the same sun, storms, wind, and water as the overall ecosystem. And then we start from that perspective, and then we reconnect and rebuild outward.
Mm-hmm. So we have maybe a minute or so left, Jared. How can people help you or contact you, or what would you like to say if in about a minute that we have left?
Well, I appreciate the time. You can find us at Great Plains Restoration Council at gprc.org, and my book's website is ghettoplainsman.com. You can also find us on Facebook. And we are building a national movement. We do need help. We're looking for donations and financial support to provide 20 new green jobs to rebuild this coastal prairie wilderness over 20,000 acres in size. And there's also volunteer opportunities. So ecological health is for everyone, and we're asking people to spread the word and join us in the audacity of hard work. How about that?
Yeah, that's great. Oh, and so just when you do restore an area, what is it that you're doing? What are all the young people out there doing when they're restoring?
It depends on the condition, but a lot of times it's removing invasives or shoring up the soil, rebuilding wetlands, reseeding, depending on, just like with the individual social work, casework, the prescription is always customized. But it's a lot of good, hard physical work that then blends like that deep personal reaching higher and deeper.
Wonderful.
Technical tools also to get past our shattered moments and fall into despair, but actually become service providers.
Well, you are quite an inspiration, your life and what you're doing. Jared Manos, founder and CEO of the Great Plains Restoration Council, and the book is Ghetto Plainsman, and the ebook should be out practically any day now, right?
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, a formal debut, yes. Okay. It's already started to populate out into the portals.
Great. Okay, thanks, Jared, for being with us today.
Thanks so much for all your work.
Thank you.
I'm a vegan because we hurt animals.
Here's an easy way to create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit recipefactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones, customize to use or avoid specific ingredients, meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budget requirements, check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load, create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipe creations, and download others. Visit recipefactory.net. Create at recipefactory.net. The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number 2, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai at crisistopeace.org. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at sweetlemonveggiebistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center. 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. Anti-corporation media occupation for over 10 years. As heard on Air America, we have to purchase the airtime every week. So while there's still any value to money, please send it to us so we can purchase the airtime and speak out on behalf of the animals, that veganism is the key to all of the social problems that humanity faces. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's GoVeganRadio.com. Well, now I would like to introduce Alex Hirschaft, who is the founder of the Farm Animal Reform Movement, who presents the Animal Rights Conference. I'm going to have Alex Hirschaft introduce me, the talk I gave at the 2011 Animal Rights Conference. So Alex will introduce me, after which he will condemn my talk. Here it is. You tell me, is this talk worthy of condemnation? Let me know what you think. After you hear it, email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com.
Good afternoon. This is a session on engaging media, and we have a couple of distinguished speakers and me. The first speaker will be Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio. I'm sure many of you have heard his programs before. No, he's not going to use the bullhorn. And our second speaker will be Will Potter, who will talk in general about the various aspects of engaging media. Will is, of course, an experienced journalist and blogger and all-around good guy. And I will just talk about letters to the editor. So, Bob, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready. Hi. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Well, so I have a vegan radio show, and it really forces me to, in a sense, be an observer, but I'm also an activist. What my show represents, I've been on the air 10 years now. It's really vegan animal liberation media infiltration. And I have a sense of urgency about the cause of veganism. I believe it's the only thing that can save the world in terms of, we look at climate change and environmental devastation. Well, meat and dairy are responsible for 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So meat and dairy are the cause of global warming, deforestation, erosion, just resource depletion, and just everything that's wrong with the environment is based in meat and dairy. We can also trace poverty, world hunger, energy crises, all of those related to the consumption of meat and dairy, the most destructive activity in which humans engage. And I come to the conference here, and is this mic working okay? You think I'd know how to use a mic by now. just want to make sure you're hearing. So I come to the conference, and I see a division of labor that may be developing. And since I have this sense of urgency about the world going vegan, I want to make sure, you know, what's upsetting to me is the attitude that, I want it to be a vegan world, you know, but, you know, how difficult it is to convert everyone in the world, right? Well, we have to start somewhere. I mean, I do the same thing talking to one person at my table in the exhibit hall. I have a bullhorn, you know, I'll go on the street, talk to as many people as are on the street. And now in the media, I'm able to reach thousands of people with the same message, the same very convincing message related to human health, the environment, and compassion for animals. People come up to me all the time who say they've gone vegan from listening to the radio show. So what that says to me is we have to put the information in front of them in the most compelling way, as many people, as quickly as possible. So my concern right now in coming to this wonderful event, by the way, this is like a congregation of heroes, all the people here, the kindest hearts in the world, and my appreciation to Farm for getting us all together here and, you know, just feeling the positive vibrations that we have. And I'd like us to go forth from here with the kind of proper activism that the animals really need. And if it's not vegans convincing people to go vegan, I don't know upon whom we can depend. So I see a division of labor, and, you know, join me on my Facebook page. It's Bob Linden and all, because I think there are some things that are really important here. And with people shrugging their shoulders and, I wish the world would go vegan, but I think we can take positive action to make the world vegan and put as much effort into that as possible. So I see the division of labor as being vegan animal liberation activism, and furniture for chickens in 18 years activism. And I'm going to ask people to choose their activism. What's more important, furniture for chickens in 18 years or getting the world to go vegan and saving the environment, saving the animals, saving human lives? I would like to point out, as a journalist, there are certain things that I observe and feel like I have to tell the truth. I can't understand why any true animal activist, vegan animal activist, would associate him or herself with the policies of the Humane Society of the United States, which I call the Humanely About the Money Society of the United States. It is a pro-slaughter, anti-vegan organization. If you don't believe me, listen to the archives on my website. It's the September 5th show, 2009, Wayne Pacelli in his own words. So HSUS does not promote veganism. In fact, when people were collecting signatures for Prop 2, 700,000 people, the signature gatherers were told not to mention anything about being vegan. And yet the campaign was to prevent animal cruelty. And the only way to prevent animal cruelty is if we go vegan. Because giving the chickens room from 8.5 inches by 11 inches to 12 inches by 12 inches does not prevent animal cruelty. Tell that to all the male chicks who are ground alive at one day of age or suffocated. Tell that to all the females who are debeaked and murdered. We are working for a cause where all of the beneficiaries are tortured and murdered. How can we be happy with the passage of Prop 2? How will we be happy when we achieve furniture for chickens in 18 years? They'll have a perch, they'll get a little stick, and they can jump on that. However, can you imagine the amount of poop that will be around the perch area? Who's going to clean it? 280 million chickens? And then they're given, according to this, a little sandbox or wood shavings to peck around in. They're indoors. They get no natural life, no sunlight. And they peck in the sand, and that only increases the horrible environment in which they'll live with the ammonia and everything they have to breathe. So we're accomplishing nothing by associating with an organization that is pro-slaughter. It is pro-slaughter. He says he's for slaughter. He's for humane slaughter. If you're for humane slaughter, that's fine. And also, all the arguments for Prop 2 were how the animal industry was in opposition to it. Oh, the egg producers are all upset. They're buying more advertising against it. Well, right now with this HSUS agreement, and by the way, who elected HSUS to represent chickens or animal rights activists? Who are these people? So Bob Krause of the United Egg Producers says, this is an exciting time to be in egg production. If it's exciting for the egg producers, it's not going to be exciting for the chickens, who are all going to be murdered now in these enriched cages. Nobody says they're humane. In Europe, they were supposed to go, no battery cages. And then what happened? The egg industry protested, so the compromise was enriched cages. And now HSUS is giving enriched cages, which nobody considers humane. So I would say work for vegan activism. HSUS, by the way, just in case you're not convinced, it supports Wolfgang Puck. You'd think it could find a vegan chef somewhere, but it says, oh, Wolfgang Puck is our hero. Look at his menu. They're promoting veal. IAMS, there's a partnership with IAMS in HSUS, which is Procter & Gamble, the largest vivisector of animals. It goes on and on. HSUS says Michael Vick's dogs can't be rehabilitated, but it takes $50,000 from the Philadelphia Eagles to rehabilitate Michael Vick's image, oddly enough. So what I would ask you to do is, if you're a vegan and you realize that your mission in life is to convince everybody to go vegan, to be part of the vegan animal liberation movement and not the furniture for chickens in 18 years movement, ways you can do that. I have a vegan radio program where I purchase the airtime in commercial radio. It's not somebody Googling vegan or whatever. It's on, I was on Air America, 26 radio stations. I've been broadcasting over 10 years. People come up to me all the time and they say, I go vegan from listening to your show. So I'm on right now on radio stations in San Francisco and Portland. I have to buy the airtime. It's $400 in each city. New York wants to run the show for $1,000 a week. Chicago for $600. Seattle for $500. Los Angeles is $1,200 a week. You can promote furniture for chickens in 18 years, or you can raise money. And, what if I said to you, hey, what if we had a network of radio stations around the country with a vegan message? Wouldn't we be excited about doing it? Well, this is the first vegan radio show. If you want to support vegan animal liberation media infiltration, help me raise funds. Help me get advertisers. Help me get donations. I'm a nonprofit. If you don't want to help me, I did this event called Soul Food for Thought. This was vegan outreach to people of color, a show that John Sally hosted with Tracy Bingham, great entertainment, Dr. Milton Mills speaking. we need vegan outreach to people of color. The community is just dying. The health, and you know, there's this. There are festivals. I organized Planet Fest. I started World Fest in L.A. We put together great music, food, and speakers. You have an event. People come to it. They go vegan. We have to put this issue in front of them. It attracts attention. A bullhorn attracts attention. If you want to, we could go to McDonald's today and do the bullhorn. That would be more effective than furniture for chickens in 18 years. So there's a movement coming out of Europe right now. It's called Abolition of Meat. Let's work to abolish meat. We ban plastic bags in grocery stores. Well, let's ban something that's killing everyone and the environment and the animals. Let's be the vegan animal liberation movement that we're supposed to be. And let's leave the furniture for chickens to people who want to feel good about eating their meat and their eggs. So cage-free is okay, organic, whatever, you know, but the only way to liberate the animals is to empty the cages. And the only way to do that is for us to go vegan.
Bob, as much as I agree with your sentiments, I really have to condemn what you did. I think it was totally out of line for at least two reasons. You were off topic. This is a session about media, not about welfare versus abolition. And our conference does not tolerate attacks on other organizations.
Well, I would hope that the conference would tolerate the truth. And everything that I suggested doing attracts media attention. You want to do this festival? We'll be in the media. My radio program is in the media. I'm just pointing out something that I don't attack anybody in the movement. HSUS is not part of the movement. HSUS is McDonald's or Cargill.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soups, salad sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
If you were looking for the perfect formula diet, where would you find it? Read the book, The Perfect Formula Diet, How to Lose Weight and Get Healthy Now with 6 Kinds of Whole Foods, written by Janice Stanger, PhD, certified in plant-based nutrition. The Perfect Formula Diet is based on over 1,000 scientific studies and is endorsed by Dr. T. Colin Campbell, author of the China Study, Neil Barnard, MD, of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and other experts on nutrition. The Perfect Formula Diet, practical and easy to read, and with a plan to make it work for you, whether you're already vegan or ready to make the transition to a healthier lifestyle. The Perfect Formula Diet by Janice Stanger, available from Amazon or perfectformuladiet.com.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Langdon.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, govegan.radio.com. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. For archives and podcasts, send to donate online. Go to goveganradio.com. And you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Get in touch with me by emailing bob@goveganradio.com. Just like we have a new sponsor, Eco Dogs and Cats, the website ecodogsandcats.com. Go check it out and pick up one of the great recycled toys on the website there, and vegan dog food, vegan cat food, definitely check it out. And there's a movement in Australia to ban the live export of animals, and every year Australia exports millions of live animals, cows, sheep, goats, to the Middle East and Southeast Asia, where they suffer immense cruelty and, of course, murder. Their throats are slashed while fully conscious. In Egypt, for example, their leg tendons are slashed to immobilize them before their murder. Many animals don't even survive the horrendous conditions on the ships coming across the ocean there. So anyway, of course, this horrible activity is supported by Rupert Murdoch and his media conglomerate. And so there is a protest that's happening at the News Corp General Meeting. It's this Friday, October 21st, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. It's organized by Last Chance for Animals, a protest against the live animal export from Australia, and Rupert Murdoch. There may be civil disobedience there. Chris DeRose just conducted a class on civil disobedience, so that could be happening. This Friday, October 21st, 10:30 in the morning till 12:30 in the afternoon at Fox Studios on Pico at Motor in Los Angeles. Please be my friend on Facebook. I keep updating on the condition of Sarah, the elephant. No new news there. There's a complaint filed with the USDA. A report is written. Ringling Brothers owner Feld Entertainment is appealing the report, so it's not being released to the public. So, do support this program. We really need your help in paying for the airtime, and you can make a tax-deductible donation online. It's goveganradio.com. Again, send your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. If you love animals, please don't eat them, don't wear them, don't buy products that are tested on them. Please go vegan.